Wayne, you want to bring our scripture?
Today's reading is Matthew chapter 4, verses 23-25. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, I'll tell you, just think, if you were someplace else, you would have missed that song. That was awesome. Yes. You know, Jesus was without limit. A man without limit because he was God. Now, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have limits, but we still can work works of God. When we are dedicated to him, when we are filled with his Spirit because we're obedient, because we've been praying, because we've been in the Word and we've studied, God can use us. All of the disciples, all of the apostles were just ordinary men like you and me. Many of them were fishermen. You know, just think about this now. There are schools that you can attend to work all the way up to getting a doctorate degree to study what fishermen taught about Jesus and a tax collector. You know, there's another scripture in the Bible that says, I am the same yesterday, today, and what is it? Yeah, so if Jesus healed people then and performed miracles then, guess what? He still does it today. There's no end to what God will do to accomplish his will. He will not go to great lengths to accomplish my will or your will, but he will do whatever it takes to accomplish his will. Folks, if God wants to reach someone that doesn't speak the same language that you speak, but you're the one he calls to go and to witness to this person, he will make it possible for you to speak to that person. If there is someone who God wants to heal, and for whatever reason they can't get to the doctor or can't get what they need, he may send you to go and pray for them and lay hands on them. And if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will work through you and bring healing to that person. You won't heal anybody, but God will. Do you know that there are such things as Christian doctors? Imagine that. And the reason why many of those Christian doctors are so successful is because they turn their work into a ministry and they obey God. And when they do their work, they pray and God guides them. There's people like Solomon Wicki, Levi's father, who even though he didn't have a medical degree, he had a relationship with the great physician and was able to listen and obey, and healing took place not because of Solomon Wiki, but because of Solomon Wiki's obedience to God. Jesus wants to have us to work his works. He said when he left that, when I go, you will work even greater works than these that I have done. Now, what does that mean? The gospel was presented by the disciples and by Jesus himself in such a way, it starts out saying Jesus went through all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Does that mean that every single person got healed? I don't think so, but I don't know. Today, some people in a group will get healed and some won't. Some people say that's because certain people have faith and certain people don't, but I don't think that's the case. I think it's more a case of God knows what plans he has for who. And he may plan for some of us to go through something and others not to have to go through it. We don't know why that is. And it really is not important for us to understand why. It's important for us to remain faithful regardless. People say, well, if God is all powerful and all loving, then why does little children get sick and die? Ask God. I don't know. But he has a purpose for it. I know that. And even though we don't understand that now, a day is coming when we can ask and we will be allowed to receive those answers. But I guarantee you one thing, God has a purpose for every one of those things that we cannot understand. Sometimes those things are revealed to us in this life, but most of them will be revealed in the next. But our job is less about asking why and more about doing what he says, just being obedient. But Jesus and the disciples, they taught and they proclaimed the gospel, then they demonstrated the power of the word of God. What do you mean? They spoke in Jesus' name and healing took place. But they always taught the word of God first. You know, I've shared with you folks before, and I'll share again, that I had a vision that there was a healing line right here in this church from here all the way out to the road. I don't know how or when that's going to happen, but it is going to happen. And I don't know why. I just know Jesus showed me that. But then I read things like this, and it encourages me. Because Jesus has done it before. It's nothing for him to do it again. Now, just think about what would have happened and how things would have been different if none of those miracles took place. If all they did was preach the word of God and proclaim the good news, but then nothing else happened, how many people do you think would have accepted that? There would have been some, but probably not near as many. When miracles begin to happen, folks, it gets people's attention. On the day of Pentecost, you know, the people heard a sound as of a great wind, and then they saw what looked like tongues of fire coming down on the apostles. And they all began to speak in other languages so that everyone there could hear. That got attention, folks. That got a lot of attention. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever experienced anything where you've been in a service that was a healing service, but I've been in services where people were healed. I've been in a service where I was healed. I walked into a service one day, with a cane, barely moving, walking like this. And I came out without a cane, walking like this. Brother Estes laid hands on me and prayed for me. Had the men of the church gather around. They laid hands on me and prayed for me. And then after they were done praying, Brother Estes says, "Bend over and touch your toes." I'm like, "What? I can't do that." He said, "Bend over and touch your toes." I bent over and touched my toes. Something went snap, snap. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm stuck. But I raised up. Pain was gone. The problem was gone. God still works miracles. He still wants to work miracles. And I'm not just talking about healing miracles either, folks. When someone who has been taught all of these things by science and basically gives them no reason whatsoever to accept what the Word of God says. Because scientists can explain everything, right? Wrong. They cannot explain the first cause. Nothing they do can explain the first cause. When they try to explain evolution, they cannot ever give you an example of a change of kind. They can show you examples of adaptation, but they cannot show you a change of kind. What was a dog, started out to be a dog, is still a dog. What started out as a monkey is still a monkey. What started out as an ape is still an ape. What started out as a man is still a man. Otherwise, we'd be going to the zoo to visit our half-evolved relatives. And I know some of you think I do because I get this beard and long hair. But, you know, the point is made. Science teaches our children constantly. There's no need for God because this caused the creation and we evolved and came from the goo through the zoo to you. And we have all the answers. We don't need God. I got news for you. That's all a lie from the pit of hell. Everything they teach pretty much is a lie from the pit of hell. There are some things that they say that is true and can be proved through the Bible. But much of what they teach is a lie to try to disprove the Bible and that God is. And so, when one of those kids hears the gospel and their hard heart is softened and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and they begin to denounce what scientists say and believe in creationism and what the Bible says, that's a miracle. That's a miracle, folks. When a single mother whose husband was a drug addict or was an alcoholic that beat her and she left and took her 2, 3, 4, 5 kids and raised them all by herself and took them to church and taught them the Bible and taught them to behave in a way that is respectful. That is a miracle, folks. Why do you call it a miracle? Because look around. Look how easy it is to just let your kids go and do whatever they want. Look how easy it is. And our government encourages that. Our government encourages that because if you are too hard on them, you'll have to give an account to some government representative. Oh, you laid a hand on your child. You're going to jail for that. You'll have to answer to us for that. It's not the government's place to tell you how to raise your children, folks. It's God's place because they belong to Him just like we belong to Him. Not one of our children, not one person in here belongs to the United States government. In fact, we are the government. Jesus taught the truth. The truth is what changes hearts. And when our hearts are changed, then our behavior follows. One of the problems that I have with AA teaching is that they teach that you are to change your behavior and that will change your heart. That will change the way you think. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If we begin to think differently than we thought as a lost person, now we think about biblical things. We think about truth instead of believing the lie. Then we have a reason to change our behavior. We have a reason now to behave in a different way because we believe that instead of there being no judgment, being no heaven, no hell, no rewards or no punishment, instead we believe in God, we believe in heaven, we believe in hell, we believe that we will all stand before the judge of all men one day, and in that day we will give an account for what we did with this life. Every single one of us will stand before the one who brought all this healing. We will stand before the one who brought the truth. He didn't just send the truth, he brought the truth to us. He loved us so much that he came so that we could learn directly from him how we should live this life, what he expects from us, and how we should behave. And to understand how much he loves us, he went around doing good deeds. He healed people. He taught the truth. He loved us so much that he healed while he was here. He taught the truth. And that's another form of healing, by the way. That's healing for the spirit, because your spirit is encouraged when you hear the truth and you recognize it and you can grab a hold of it and you can latch onto that and you can live your life according to it, because it never changes. A lie changes. The truth stays the same always. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. We hold on to him. Why? Because he is our anchor. Why? Because he never changes. Jesus wants us to know how much we're loved. He wants us to feel his presence. He wants us to be so in tune with him that we are walking side by side with him, and we know it, but we feel it. We feel his presence right there with us. And when we have a problem, he wants us to know that he's right there. He'll lay his hand on you. It's okay, son. It's okay, daughter. It's okay, brother. It's okay, sister. It's all right. This is just for a time. It'll pass. This is just for a time. It'll pass. Well, how long is a time, Lord? Well, someday this will all be gone and everything will be made new. You know, when I first got serious about serving the Lord and first started preaching the gospel, and I was still struggling with a lot of things. A lot of sinful opportunities were knocking at my door, and I was rebuking them, but I was still influenced by all of this garbage constantly. And I prayed. This was again while I was still driving the truck, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how long will I have to endure all of this bombardment of temptation? How long will I have to put up with all this filth? And he said, till you die. Oh, thanks for the encouragement, Lord. But it's the truth. We are tempted by the flesh, by the world, and by the devil. Those are our three enemies. Guess what? When we leave this life, we are no longer in a body of flesh. We're no longer a part of this world. And the devil has no access to us. All three of the enemies are removed. What is the three major temptations that Satan uses? He used them on Jesus. We just studied this. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's all removed when we leave this life. But until then, we have to overcome. You know, there's these verses of scripture in the Bible that talk about being an overcomer, not an overachiever, but an overcomer. Why does it say that? Because we have to overcome these things. We have to overcome the temptations of the flesh. We have to overcome the temptations of this world. We have to overcome the temptations of the devil. The word says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if you start to agree with him, he'll come right in and have tea with you. He said, hey, you want a cookie with that tea? I can provide. Folks, we got to get serious about serving Jesus. You know, everything we see that's going on right now in this world should make every Christian who knows the Word of God very serious about serving God. Because everything the Bible says that's going to happen in the end days, we're seeing that stuff. Oh, I've been seeing it for the last 100 years. Yeah, but not to the intensity we're seeing it now. And not since Israel became a nation again. And the people are returning. Do you know that in Israel there's a group of people that have built an altar? They have all the vestments for the priest. They have imported a red heifer and learned how to make their own red heifers. They can clone them. They have a perfect red heifer that's constantly ready to make the sacrifice to cleanse the altar and the priest so they can start making sacrifices again. The only thing they're waiting for is approval from the government. There's a lot of things, folks, that are going on in the world that we should be aware of. But you know, most of the time, we don't listen to those things. We don't hear those things. You're not going to hear them on the lamestream news. They don't talk about this stuff. You're not going to hear it when you're reading the local newspaper. You're not going to hear it when you're reading Vogue magazine or some of this other stuff or novels. Read the Word of God and get on the internet and look up things that's going on in Israel. There's lots and lots of information. There are Christian Jewish ministries that will fill you in on all kinds of stuff that will help you to know what hour we're living in. I believe the time is short before the Lord returns. I also believe there's going to be a revival within the church this year before this year's out. Within the church. Why within the church? We have entire denominations that are denouncing what God's word says and living a lie. That's why it's needed. Judgment begins first where? At the house of God. Think about it. If you have a need this morning, just find the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.